Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to Harvest Christian Church. Welcome to this gathering, whether you're with us live streaming or you're here present in the physical, welcome. Welcome to this day. I can never think of saying this day without immediately the sense, this is the day the Lord has made. And we respond in that day. We will rejoice in it. This day, to think each day that we have, each day is a gift, another opportunity to grow, another opportunity to know, another opportunity to glow, as it were, to reflect who He is. In the Word, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." And then it goes on to say, and this is such an important key, "Now all these things are from God." That is significant. It concerns me sometimes when people read the verse 17 without adding that, to know that all old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come, and all these things are of God. But I was thinking this morning and meditating on the sense of new things have come. And I thought, how dramatic do we recognize the old creation and the new creation, the old man and the new man, how dramatically different, how dramatically advanced the new man is from the old man. And what came to my mind is a picture of the days when we used regularly and only a landline phone. Now, I don't know how many of you were in a household that only had a landline phone. Come on. Yep, online too. Raise your hand. Okay, a good number of us. Now, think about the ones who had only an experience with a landline phone, and then someone comes along and hands them the newest, greatest iPhone. I don't even know what number that would be now. What iPhone is that? But it gave it to them, and you thought, okay, both of these are actually phones, but how dramatically different is that brand new and advanced iPhone to the old landline phone? And you and I, when we are placed in Christ, we're still human beings, you know? I'm still a wife and mother and daughter and sister and still a worker. You're still a co-worker, employer, employee. You're still a citizen of this nation or a nation. A number of things don't change, but a lot does change when you think of the difference between that old phone and the new one. What a difference it is, and how it takes a great deal of understanding to grow into that understanding of, okay, what I can get the basic concept of phone, but what else? I even think of, you know, the old Timex. I had a Timex watch that was given to me years and years ago, of course, and now the advanced iPhone watches. They both can tell you the time of day, but one does a lot more. And it takes a while, continuous while, to learn those things. And God says, recognize that that's this season that we're in, a season of learning, a season of revelation, a season of grasping. What is this new creation that I am in Christ? It says, if anyone is in Christ. So it's any one of us who have been placed in Christ, it said this person is a new creation. It's like, wow, what does that mean? And do we understand? So that's why so much we're grasping from the word. And sorry, today I have one of those new technologies, a word. I prefer my hard Bible. But I just as a reference that, you know, what do I need to know about who I am and what I am? And so we recognize the word. The word is going to open up to us even in greater understanding. Because the Lord says, I will not have you remain in ignorance. I want you to know the fullness of what I have put you into. I want you to understand how amazing, how much authority, how much power, how much knowing, how much significance you have as a new creation in Christ. And these are days of revelation. So the first thing we do, we say, oh Lord, we thank you for your word. And we have attentive hearts. We are listening to your word. We are not closed. We are not saying, well, I know already. No, we're saying there's things to be known. And so open up your word to us today. Let it be spoken to us today. Let it be proclaimed to us today. And let us have eyes to see and hear. And then we welcome Holy Spirit because he's the teacher. He's the guide. I don't know of how many of you who got new technology that have ever said, I need help. Where is somebody that's further along than I am that can help me with this? Who can help me to understand? Or sometimes it's not, we use it, and then someone young comes along, like one of my young grandchildren over here, who say, well, Grandma, it can do this too. It's like, what? I didn't know that. You know, it can do so much more. I'm using the basics, and they tell me, oh, no, you can do so much more than that with it. How blessed we are that we have the Spirit of God in us who says, I want to bring revelation knowledge to you. I am a spirit of understanding. I want you not only to know, but to understand. Because sometimes they'll tell me something, and I say, good. Don't get it, you know, but there's a place, don't laugh over there. there's a place to understand. And so Holy Spirit says, I have come that you would grasp and understand in fullness, that you will not stumble about or be in ignorance in any way. So let's just open our arms and say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you to speak to us today. We welcome you to bring revelation. We have listening ears. We've set ourselves in a place of being learners. We're settled in a place of growing. But I also want to say, go back to what I said. What the word said, it said, now all these things are from God. None of us generate what's new in ourselves apart from God. He gives it and then he brings it forth. And you know what? That's the God we're going to worship. The God who has brought all new things to us and is revealing to them. We get the opportunity to stand before him, to worship him, to exalt his name, to celebrate him. And the more we do that with a whole heart, with an open mind and spirit, the more he is able to stir up what's new inside of us. So we yield to you, Lord. We yield to you in a place, and we're going to celebrate you today. We're going to honor you today because you're the one we depend upon. You're the one we are so appreciative of. You're the one we honor and respect. You're the one that we represent. You're the one. You're it all. It says all these things are from God. Nothing good comes apart from you, Lord. So we stand before you today and say, we celebrate you, we honor you, we worship you. You are the Lord. You are our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We stand with open arms. We worship you, O God. We worship you, O God. Rogama sitia da ragama. Come on, let's worship him. Oh, ragada da makasitia. Holy, holy, holy are you, O God. Holy, holy, holy are you, O God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, even as we enter this time, we fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. We come with open hands. Open hands. We only want to do what we see you do. We come with open hands. With open hands. We wait for you. We fix our eyes on you. Waiting for you to move. We wait for you. 'Cause you said that the wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You said we'd mount up like eagles in your way. So we wait for you, O God, to move. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory, you're round. Oh, God, here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence, with your Shekinah glory all around. Give us an awareness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah. are being broken everywhere. 'Cause he is here, the Prince of Peace, where there's wars by his side. Every prisoner is set free, for this is the day of Jubilee. Saints, to take our weapons to the streets. His love and compassion are gonna set the captives free. Do you hear the sound of freedom in the air? Ancient chains of bondage are being broken everywhere. He is here, the Prince of Peace.
Oh, Everybody's looking at the eclipse tomorrow and the final four. But we need to just surround Israel with the Lord Sabaoth. A shipment of suicide drones have just been shipped and they're on their way to be launched out of Lebanon on Israel. So let's just intercede right now. There's something big. We need to let the Lord Sabaoth begin to manifest. And the Lord Sabaoth, he's captain of armies. It's talking about Jesus. He's leading his armies. And so, Father, right now, we just surround Israel. We agree with them right now for a spirit of wisdom. For them, Father, to be able to discern and know the timing. But Father, we thank you that you're surrounding them with your heavenly host. We thank you for your warring angels right now. And we thank you, Jesus, your Lord Sabaoth. And we thank you that you're surrounding Israel. But we thank you, you're dispersing, Father. Father, those secret Father missiles that are taken out, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's just pray in the Spirit a minute. Father, we just take authority right now. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but we pray right now in the Spirit. Oh, Lord Sabaoth, manifest. Oh, Shakiri de Boho, release your warring angels right now. Oh, Shakare Bosharadala Boho, Bushandare de Boho, Shate, Bushandara Boho, Kade, Zondarandare Boho, Shate, Zoto reba baba reke, o shoto robo kora baba ha, u shoda ra ra boho te, a ra boro ro 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 ra ra boho ho, zikiri bo shoda ra ra ha ha, bo shate te kara ra ha, u shore le bo kora, ba ra da re le bo koro ho, ziri bo kora da ra bo kora ra. Aranda robo baba kashete, boshotore, boshota, bagare dere bohorene, zotore bohore, zure baha, bara randa robo ho ho, ziti kato kora baba kara, zato robo kora baha, busi dere baha, boshata ra la la la, bure dere baha. Bushokarabaha, Bushandere, Hosotore, Zosa. Rebata Rebo Baha. Zenderebo Shutui Diki Kaha. O Shadara Pute. Ah, Shondo Shamba Rebo. Bukure Bahadara. Gute Kariko Dodotaraha. Aranda Roto Dodorabahada. Ah, Da Sato Roho. Oh, Shitiri Baha, Bushatara Bahosho, Bushatara Bohoho, Ikarato Toto Rabata, Andaro, Zozo, Rehehehe, Oh, Rehehehe, Oh, Shararara Baha, Bushatara Bake, Ninelelele, Puto, Hoho, Zata, Azada Rabohoho, Borada Rapusoto, Ahaha. Oh, move, Spirit of God. Spirit of God, right now. Move in the Middle East right now. Expose, Father. Expose terrorist attacks right now, Father. On Israel, we pray the peace of Jerusalem. We pray the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, and the King of Righteousness would manifest right now. Open the eyes of the hearts, Father, of the nation of Israel. Open the eyes of the hearts of our administration here, those in authority, Father, that they'll not turn their backs on Israel. We just pray right now. We agree right now. Manifest yourself right now with signs and wonders. Right now, take out, Father, expose, Father, all terrorist activity in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, do it right now, Lord. Oh, korape tatotoromaha. Oh, we thank you. Lift your hands and begin to thank him. We pray a protection not over only over Israel, Lord, but over this nation right now. All sleeper cells, we say, expose them by the Spirit of God. Those that have come in into this nation illegally for the intent of destruction. In the name of Jesus. Open the eyes of the hearts of the officials right now. Not only that, Father, they have a spirit of discernment, but wisdom what to do. And we thank you right now. Open the eyes of the hearts of those in authority that they might encounter Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we just cover this nation. In Jesus' name, given glory and honor and blessing. And we worship the King of Glory. We worship you, Lord Sabaoth, Captain of Armies. We worship you in spirit and in truth this morning.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So we let all the striving cease. You are our victory. Now we can finally see it. You're teaching us how to receive it. We let all the Dundee. voice and shout. Every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. Yeah. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. Crown me with confidence, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. In the heavenly place, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all. Jesus, it's a finished work, and we're here to manifest it for you. For you, for you. And I was created, created to worship. There is no one like you. I was created, created to worship. There is no one like you. I was created, created to worship. There is no one like you. To worship, there is no one like you. Who was, who is, who will always be. Oh, great I am. And risen Son, you are. You're everything to us, oh God, you are. You are. You are. You are. You are. Holy God, you are.
Stay in this place of worship. We're going to continue to worship him, but this is a good place for us to take communion. And so you can stand or you can be seated. We're going to continue to worship him, declaring the great I am, who was and is to come. I just was reminded that in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus, and they came with that entree of soldiers, 600, 300 to 600, it said, when they asked for Jesus, Jesus said, I am. And when he said, I am, it says, they fell over backwards. He demonstrated his power as Lord Sabaoth. He didn't need natural weapons to defeat. He had spiritual weapons that were not carnal. So if you need a communion element, they're coming through, just raise your hand. Anybody else need a cup or communion? Okay. We said there's two different types. If you have the old one, which is the dark one, you might want to shake it a little more. It's been fermenting a little longer. That's the old wine. The new wine has the new cover on it. So if you have the old wine, you might want to shake it a little bit. But the new wine is what we're drinking this morning. And it says, as often as we eat and drink. In fact, I'm thinking of John chapter 6, when Jesus told the disciples, eat my body, drink my blood. Because they didn't comprehend, many were offended, and many turned and walked away from him. And Jesus said to his disciples, to Peter, will you too walk away? And Peter said, where shall we go?
Amen.
Because we've tasted,
yes.
And we tasted this new life, and we can't turn back. And so we're eating his body and drinking his blood in remembrance of him, what he did for us on the cross. We were nailed with him, buried with him, raised with him, ascended with him, and are now seated in heavenly places with him. And so if you're not a part of the body of Christ, that's the only prerequisite for taking this. It's not what church you belong to. It's about what family you belong to. It's not about an organization. It's about a man. And the man is Jesus. And so if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and we confess him with our mouth, the Bible says you're born again. And so we like to make this public confession together, corporately. It's one thing to do it individually, but corporately there's a strength. And so we invite you to pray with us as we prepare to eat his body and drink his blood. Shut your eyes and shut yourself in with him. I hear the Spirit say, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Because you don't know what lies in tomorrow. So let's make this confession and do it with boldness. And I'm declaring, Father, a fresh encounter of the cross. Not just remembering, but an encounter. A manifestation of Jesus right now in all of his fullness. From the cross to the throne. Let's make this confession together. Say, Father,
I thank you
for your great love, that you so loved me, that you sent Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for loving me and for your obedience to go to the cross. And dying for my sin. I confess my sin to you. I receive right now your sacrifice, your blood that was shed for the remission of my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I now declare and I confess you, Jesus, as Lord of my life. I thank you for saving me. I thank you I'm born again. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. And all things have become new. Christ in me. the hope of glory. The same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body." He was scourged so that by his stripes we might be healed. So let's eat his body in remembrance of the sacrifice. And as you're eating, declare, "By his stripes I'm healed," and just receive your healing. Let's eat and receive. "I'm healed in Jesus' name. I receive your provision. I receive it right now in my body. I command all pain to go. All sickness, all disease. In the name of Jesus." The same manner he took the cup after he supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for the remission of sins." We thank you, Jesus, for your obedience that you saw beyond the cross. You saw us. And so we thank you this morning that as we drink in remembrance of you. Let's drink his blood together. Wow. Just lift your hands and thank him. Thank him for this new life, this abundant life that's on the inside of us right now, that you're growing into, that you're experiencing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the body, your body and your blood. There's no turning back in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, we want to dismiss the children, and I know that, wow. It's good to see you. How many of you were baptized? I just want to... How many were baptized last week here? Well, I know we had 26. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, just remember those 6 of the 26 because that we'll speak into that this morning. Amen? We're going to dismiss the children. Stretch your hands. Father, we thank you for the children's ministry. We thank you that there's no junior Holy Spirit. We thank you that if they prayed, Father, that prayer, we thank you they're growing in the Word and their knowledge of who they are in Christ. We declare right now, fill them with the Holy Spirit. We thank you right now that they encounter you at a young age. And we thank you for filling them with your presence. Thank you for those that teach and those that train. The workers right now that, Father, as they impart, they have an encounter. They experience it firsthand, and then, Father, they impart, and there's an impartation that's taken place in Jesus' name. Thank you for impartation of your word this morning, that, Father, we encounter your word in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you watch over your word, and it will not return empty to you. You will accomplish what you sent it forth to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week as I talked to pastors, I talked to a lot of them across the nation, different ones, friends I have and those that are here in this region. Everyone I talked to said that their crowds were bigger than normal. And I was wondering about this week if the crowds would continue to be that size they were last week. I started to think about the Bible. I wonder if that's what happened in the Bible. After the crucifixion and all those people, thousands that Jesus touched, did they continue to follow him? Did they continue to engage with him? And so this morning when we first started off, I thought, wow, this is...
a bigger demonstration than I thought. There were only a few people scattered out there, faithful ones. And so I'm not addressing some of the things to you because you're here. And I'm not addressing to those because we know that it's also, Easter week, but it's also, what do they call that? Spring break. And I know there might be a few that are going to see the eclipse tomorrow, but not from this congregation. But, so I'm not addressing those. And we know Don and Susie are on vacation. They had that already planned. And people are taking a break. We're not addressing that. We're addressing about, and there were six, maybe seven that were here that got baptized last week. I wonder where the other 20 are.
Right.
Did they have an encounter or an experience thinking, wow, this is it? I thought, and I know they did, but in John chapter 3, it says this. In John chapter 3, truly, truly, and whenever you see a truly, truly, it means this is truth, and it's solidifying, saying it again, It's emphasizing, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So to get born again, you see the kingdom, but you're still on the outside of the kingdom. You see the activity in the kingdom. And you can see what's happening in the kingdom, but you're almost like a spectator. You're not a participant. And in some of our theological teachings, we said get people born again so that they can go to heaven. So what happens is they get born again, they have an encounter, and they see the kingdom, but they're waiting for the manifestation when they get to heaven. Does that make sense? And so they think, well, I'm just waiting to get out of here. I know I'm saved. I got my plane ticket, when Jesus comes. But I want to just share some scripture with you to start to kind of preface this, because Apostle Linda shared 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You're a new creation, but that new creation is Christ in you, and that creation is in seed form. The fullness of Jesus is in seed form. It hasn't manifested in its fullness. And listen to a couple of scriptures. And these are scriptures that when I read them in the New Testament, I often wonder, okay, and I know there's an argument, once saved or always saved. I'm not arguing that. But listen to this in Philippians chapter 2. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God who is at work in you both to will and to work his good pleasure. When you get born again, Christ is in you, but it's in seed form. Now he says you begin the process. So last Sunday, getting water baptized got you so that you can see the kingdom, but it only kind of whets your appetite for the fullness. It's only the entrance into awareness that there's something more than what you've experienced in the past life. Everybody got that? Here's another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2:2, and we quote it often. Like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it, the word, you may grow up in respect to your salvation. See, desire, long for the sincere milk as newborn babes. So it says when you get born again, you're like a newborn baby. A newborn baby doesn't have a understanding of everything that's on the inside of him. He's got to grow into it. And at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave that word, growing pains. This is a year of growing pains. There's certain places in the growth of young people that they have growing pains. We used to always say with my son Robert, when his legs hurt and his appetite increased, I knew he was growing. And it was growing pains for me because I had to pay more to feed him. It was growing pains for him because his legs hurt. And it was uncomfortable. And growing in the Lord is sometimes uncomfortable. And we're in a time of accelerated growth, you know. And it's not determined on we're just all going to grow together. It's determined on how hungry you are. It says, if you long and desire, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. If you keep feeding on the word, you're going to grow naturally. You keep feeding your children, you don't worry about them growing. They'll just grow naturally. And if you desire the sincere milk of the word, you'll grow into the things of God. The Spirit of God is already in you. The fullness of Jesus is in seed form. And now it's up to us to long to discover what that fullness is. It says in John chapter 3, truly, truly, I say, a man must be born again to see the kingdom. But two verses later, it says again, truly, truly. In other words, here's another fact. A man must be born of the water and the Spirit if he's going to enter the kingdom. Many people get baptized in water, but don't go any further than seeing the kingdom. They become like spectators. And then there's those that get filled with the Spirit. They experience the baptism of Holy Spirit. And now they've entered into the kingdom, but they're walking around discovering it. And as we long to grow in our salvation, we get to a place where we start to possess the kingdom. And it's when you start to possess the kingdom on the inside of you, you start to manifest the kingdom. But you also start to advance the kingdom. We got a whole group of people in the body of Christ that are babies that are trying to advance the kingdom, but they haven't experienced it on the inside. They haven't been changed by the kingdom, but they're trying to exercise the kingdom and advance it. It's a process. We grow up in the things of the Lord. We step out in faith. It's by faith. Yes. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about growing in the kingdom. Because after Jesus and the cross and his burial, and then we experienced all that last week, they didn't just stop right there. If you stop right there, you stop growing. You become stagnant and you start to go backwards. I wonder where all the people are that were in the church last week that prayed that prayer of salvation that I know the pastors that I work with led them in a prayer of salvation or gave an opportunity to receive Christ. I wonder how many people wait till next year to experience that again. I want to share with you this morning the Bible example of this. And one of the words I'd like to shift our mentality in is the word baptize. Because the definition of the word baptize carries a bigger weight. What does baptize mean? It means to be immersed into. Just like water baptism last week, and I had front row seats. There were a couple people I had to help down a little more to get them totally immersed. That's what baptized means, to be totally immersed into. John the Baptist said this. John says, I baptize in water for repentance. But there's one greater than me that's coming after me that will baptize or immerse you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Many people stop with just being immersed with water, which is an outward evidence of an inward work. But if you stop there, you only see the kingdom. It's experiencing the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes. Amen.
I believe we haven't entered into that season of fire yet.
Right.
I mean, immersion. I saw the people come up out of water and they were dripping with water. They were immersed. They were saturated. So the word baptism is not just a little dab here and there, an experience every now and then. It's a continuous immersion into Christ. And John the Baptist says, I'm just the beginning of it. I baptize with water for repentance. I get you back on track so that you can see the kingdom of God. But there's one greater than me. Well, I'm not even worthy to, you know, latch his sandals. I'm not even worthy, who's greater and mightier than me. And he will baptize you, immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He wants to bring us into the kingdom, but experience so that we start to advance the kingdom and eventually that we begin to possess it. So that's what it is after we get born again. That was all last week, expressing it. But it didn't stop at the resurrection. So let's go and see what happened in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. What happened? And it's only a few days after this. We're 1 week after this. Somehow the church has gone into the mentality that now we're going to celebrate Passover, but now in 50 days we got to wait to celebrate Pentecost. I'm glad we're this side of the cross and not that side. They didn't know what to expect after the cross. There hadn't been the outpouring of Holy Spirit. We get to look back and see, so we don't have to wait 50 days.
Come on.
Breaking off some religious spirits.
Come on.
Because the church after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Passover, then the next thing they wait is 50 days and we celebrate Pentecost. And I'm going to tell you, the religious spirit will wait 50 days. They'll have an encounter or an experience, but then they'll wait for the fall, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the fullness. And he wants us to be immersed so that we're continually being filled.
Yes.
Continually walking in the power of Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But not only in the power of Holy Spirit, but I believe the fire, immersed in the fire, is the fire of holiness.
Yes.
It's the fire of purity.
Yes.
He doesn't want you coming in and out. He wants you immersed in it.
Yes.
So Acts chapter 1. It gives us, it's only a few days after. And Jesus now has ascended to the, not ascended yet to the throne. Did you know after his resurrection, he went and he took his blood into the Holy of Holies and presented it on the mercy seat. The veil was rent. The veil being rent says there's a new way into the Holy of Holies. And all of us can come. Not just the high priest. Every believer in Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, can come boldly into the throne room of grace anytime you want.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to wait.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
So, for 40 days, well, let's just read it. It tells you right here in Acts. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So this is Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke was the only Gentile who had experienced Jesus of all the Gospels, Luke, but Luke also continued his writing in the book of Luke with writing Acts. So he's telling us right now that Jesus began to do. Aren't you glad that Jesus begun something?
Yes.
But it tells me that he begun it, but also tells me he hasn't finished.
Come on.
It's not over until he says it's over.
Yes.
Until the day when he was taken up. to heaven after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles when he had, whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To these he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. So after his resurrection, he went and he presented his blood, but he came back down, and for 40 days he walked with his disciples, giving them many convincing signs and wonders and miracles of his resurrection. You got that? 40 days. And what else did he do? This is important because Amy led us in worship this morning. For 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning, not salvation, but the kingdom of God. He's going to tell us not to just see the kingdom, but how to enter into the kingdom, how to begin to possess the kingdom and advance the kingdom. For 40 days, can you imagine that intense training and teaching? So for 40 days, concerning the kingdom of God, gathering them together, verse 4, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized, and I'm just going to use the word immersed. You've been immersed with water, but now there's one coming, he's going to immerse you in something greater than the water. He's going to immerse you with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at that time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? See, they were expecting Messiah to come to set up his kingdom on earth now. They couldn't see the church age that we're in right now. Because when he ascended up, and you can see in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, Peter said that when he ascended into heaven, the Father said, sit down here until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. See, Israel thought he was coming to set up his kingdom then and to deal with his enemies. God says, I haven't finished my work with the Gentile nations yet. Everybody following? Everybody with me? Wow. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times of epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remote part of the earth. In Matthew 24, he said the message of the kingdom will be preached in all the nations to all peoples, and then Jesus is coming.
Come on.
He's not coming back until the gospel of the kingdom. Are you got that? He spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom. If there's a kingdom, there's a king. If there's a king, then there's, different culture. Different rules. People, as soon as you say rules in America, everybody goes, boom! I bind that in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, there's laws in the kingdom of God. Yeah. Romans chapter 8 says, God has not given us. No, that's the spirit of fear. That's 2 Timothy. He's given us the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, not the law of sin and death.
Come on.
So in the old order, you have an old master. Yeah. He's called a liar and the father of lies. He's the devil. And now you transferred into a different realm with a different king. And he has laws that are resurrection life. So we got to learn that there's a new way of functioning. It's by the Spirit. Amen? And so he says we're going to be filled. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says after his resurrection, he appeared to Peter, Cephas, and the 12. And then he appeared to over 500 people at one time. 500 people witnessed it. And yet, On the day of Pentecost, there were only 120 in the upper room. That's a quarter of the people that had encountered Jesus who remained faithful to him. I wonder if there's a comparison like that. I was trying to think. I wonder if it was just a quarter of people that showed up this morning that were baptized. Well, if you say 6 out of 26, that's about a quarter. That's just interesting. I'm not saying that, you know, they drifted away. I'm just saying they had an encounter. But the encounter opened the door for them to experience more. And look what it says here. I love this. In chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Notice, each one of them. In chapter 1, it says there was 120, and I had never seen this until I read it this week, but it says around 120. There could have been more, there could have been less, but there was somewhere around 120. And the fire of tongues landed on each one of them. There's no one that followed through to the command that Jesus said, you go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Until you're baptized with Holy Spirit. 120 of them followed that, and it was only 10 days they had to do that from that command. 40 days he commanded them teaching about the kingdom, and then 10 days before this experience in chapter 2, he told them, go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. And notice what it says. It doesn't say some of them were filled. It says each one of them experienced the outpouring of Holy Spirit. What was it? I believe these were the 120 that were hungry. These were the 120 that were obedient. I want to tell you that once we move from baptism, once we move into from salvation, we move into what we call discipleship. We are in a time of great discipline, which is discipleship. And it says in Matthew 28, verse 18, go ye into all the world. Go into all the world and make, not converts, but disciples of all nations. I believe we're moving into a time of intense discipleship. And discipleship is more than just having someone mentoring you. Discipleship is in the Word. The Word will disciple you. It's the Spirit. Holy Spirit is given to you to manifest Jesus to you, reveal Him to you, and manifest Him in you so that He might manifest through you.
Come on.
Are you following? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So discipleship can come by the Word or the Spirit, or it might become just someone in your life speaking into your life.
Amen.
But He's calling us into disciples. Yes. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 31, 32, if you continue in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How many people are looking to be free?
Yes.
Well, the answer is continue in the Word.
Amen.
The Word will make you free. If you continue, if you stay in it. Amen? So He's given the Word to us to disciple. And the Word manifests Jesus because Jesus says, I am the Word. Jesus was the Word manifested. So when Holy Spirit comes and illuminates Jesus, He reveals Jesus to you. You're having an encounter with the Word, and the Word is what transforms you into His image and likeness.
Yes.
So we're living in a time, I believe, of an outpouring of fire, Holy Spirit, that's bringing us into an intense time of discipleship.
Yes.
You cannot grow without being discipled. So it takes a Word, the Spirit, and it takes other people around speaking into your life, keeping you accountable. Everybody with me so far? Okay. Again. And suddenly there came, verse 2, chapter 2, from heaven, a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one. And notice what verse 4 says. And they were all filled.
Yes.
It doesn't say some filled. It wasn't a hit and miss deal. He was honoring the hunger and the obedience of those. In fact, I almost blew it. Got ahead of myself. Matthew 28, we often don't quote this next verse. Verse 18 says this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's good news. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and earth. And then there's a delegation in verse 19. He says to us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We often leave verse 20 out. Teaching them to obey. Uh-oh. That's not a good word in American culture. You know, we're our own independent. Teaching them to obey some things. No. Teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded them. That sounds pretty authoritative. That sounds like discipleship. All things that I've commanded them, they're to teach you. So all things he's taught you, he's commanded you to teach others. I believe it's the disciple principle of you need those that are over you that you're gleaning from. You need those that are on the same level as you to keep you accountable. But you also need the Timothys that you're imparting to. Amen. So you need, you know, the Pauls that are over you that have gone further to impart. You need those that are on the same level, the Barnabases. To encourage you and keep you accountable, but then you also need the Timothys that you're imparting what you're receiving. Amen. If you want the cycle of discipleship, this is it. It's not just receiving, but it's growing and it's giving out what you're receiving. Amen. Has everybody found this? Every one of us should have Pauls and Barnabases and Timothys in our life. If you don't, you're not growing. I find the greatest way to grow is to give away what I get.
Come on. Amen.
You give it away, and then you get more.
Amen.
If you're faithful with the little, he'll give you much.
Yes.
So if you're giving away what you're experiencing,
yes.
You receive Jesus. I remember when I got born again, I didn't know any scripture. I don't think I could quote John 3:16, and I went to church all my life. But I had an encounter with Jesus, and people said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I don't know, but I met Jesus."
Hallelujah.
I started off on the level where I was at. I can only give what I've experienced.
Yeah.
And that caused me to want to grow more because I realized I didn't know anything. I didn't know any of the process, but I wanted to know more. And so I just got hungry and thirsty and started to study and listen, go. Every time there was something happening in the area, I'd go to those meetings. It didn't matter if it was in the Catholic Church. They had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church, and I heard about Holy Spirit there. It didn't matter. Amen?
Amen.
So you want to grow more, give away what you already have. What you've, and you can only give away what you've encountered.
Right.
If you haven't had an encounter, you can only give information.
Right.
You can give a story away, but there's something different than giving a story away.
Yep.
People can argue about your doctrine, but they can't argue about your experience.
Come on.
And you can argue all you want about salvation to me, and it doesn't matter. You can't convince me that Jesus isn't Lord. You can't convince me that the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for everybody because I've already experienced it too late. You can't convince me that tongues was done away with because kandaraba shandarararahataro. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Okay. So we're still in Acts chapter 2. And it says, and suddenly there came from heaven a violent noise, a rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began, you can say, and they all began to speak.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
With other tongues, as the Spirit was given them utterance. Notice, Holy Spirit, you work with Holy Spirit. He gives you the utterance, but you have to do the speaking. I'll tell you my experience being filled with Holy Spirit. I was so hungry. I want the Word of God. And when they started to show me that baptism was for me, I started seeking that. But, you know, I was expecting something to come on me and take over me and I'd be out of control. Right. And no one wants to be out of control, especially a male. I want to be in control. And so, you know, no one ever told me, you know, He'll fill you, He'll give you the utterance, but you have to speak. Until I went to a meeting, it was a tent meeting here in Troy. And they gave the invitation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I went forward to Holy Spirit to receive. They took me in a side room. I can even tell you, it's a good friend of mine, Pastor John Bullock. He just celebrated 50 years in the ministry. And John Bullock took me over and he says, "Well, do you believe the scripture?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Well, I'm going to pray for you, and when I do, He's going to give you the utterance, but you have to do the speaking." And I sat there and kept my mouth shut and went, waiting to be out of control. Finally, he says, "Wait a minute, it doesn't work that way." I said, "What do you mean it doesn't work that way?" He said, "It doesn't work that way. He's going to give you an utterance, but you have to open your mouth and speak it out."
Right.
He says, "Did you feel anything?" I said, "Yeah, there was funny words." He says, "Well, open your mouth and speak it out in faith." So I did. I went, and I only got one sentence, and for about 2 weeks, that's all I could say. He says, "Go home and believe for an outpouring." And I started praying. All of a sudden, the gusher came. Oh, shandara bakate bututurehe. I'm telling you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for each one of us.
Right. Amen. Amen.
With the same evidence that they experienced on the day of Pentecost. Right. Amen. And we don't have to wait 50 days. Come it's on. Already been poured out.
Hallelujah.
The 50 days tarrying was for them because they had an experience. But once that experience came, now all we have to do is believe by faith. And I'll give you several chapters you can write in Scripture down. Acts chapter 8. Remember when Peter went down to Samaria, he preached Christ on to the Samaritans, and they had a revival. Many got saved, and they were baptized in water. And when the disciples or the apostles that were in Jerusalem heard there was a revival going on, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria because they heard that they were being saved and there was a revival, but they hadn't experienced Holy Spirit yet. And so Peter and John went down there. They were seeing miracles, signs, and wonders done by Philip. But all of a sudden, they went down there, and when they laid hands on the people, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 says the same thing about Cornelius' household. Peter went down and preached Jesus unto them. And while he was preaching, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. In Acts chapter 19, Paul, going to the city of Ephesus, finds 12 disciples. He assumes that these 12 disciples have already been born again, and he asks them, "Have you been baptized?" And they say, "In the Holy Spirit." And they say, "We have never heard about the Holy Spirit." He says, "Then, wait, maybe they're not born again. whose baptism were you in? And they said, John's. He says, well, he baptizes you in water in the name of Jesus. Receive Jesus. And then he says he laid hands on them, and those 12 were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy and speak in tongues. Are you following? I'm talking about the pattern of the book of Acts, not some man's theology or what he thinks took place. I'm talking about what the Bible talks about. So go to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Let's back up. I'm going to miss. Peter gives a sermon. And notice what happens. It says that, verse 12, chapter 2, and they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine or new wine. I mean, they weren't acting normal. Now, I don't know what was happening, but one thing we know is they heard them speaking in their own dialect, their own language, the gospel. And they thought maybe they were drunk. So some were perplexed and some were mocking. There's a difference from being perplexed and mocking. Be careful you don't mock the outpouring of Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if you mock Holy Spirit, that's like the unpardonable sin. You can mock Jesus and all that, but Jesus said to mock Holy Spirit is a serious offense. And this is what Peter said in verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. Let this be known. So Peter begins to describe what that just took place, what they're experiencing there in Jerusalem. He says, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. I mean, nowadays that wouldn't be a big deal. Back then, you didn't drink at 9 in the morning when they got filled. But this is what he says. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Doesn't say he's picking and choosing. I'll pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It says everybody can prophesy. He emphasizes it again in verse 18. Even on my bondservants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We're living in a time, I believe, of the former and the latter rain. Don't go back to the book of Acts. That's already happened. The former rain was the outpouring on the day of Pentecost that we're seeing. The latter rain is what's yet to come. It's the latter and the former rain together that's going to be poured out on one generation. I believe we're that generation. And so Peter gives that. And then he gives this great sermon. And then drop down to verse 36. You can read his sermon. It's powerful. In fact, verse 34 says that when Jesus ascended, the Father said, the Lord said to my Lord, this is a quote from Psalm 110, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. When Jesus ascended and sat down, the Father said, sit here until I make all your enemies a footstool. What was he saying? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go and you exercise that authority and make disciples of all nations. You bring all Jesus' enemies under his feet, but you get them first under your feet. Are you following me? Verse 37. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, each one of you, and each one of you will be baptized or immersed in the name of Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Amen. Not you might receive, but you will receive the gift. And notice it's a gift, and in the next verse calls it a promise. God the Father promised the gift of Holy Spirit to those that believe. Let me say that we're immersed in Holy Spirit, but when we get born again and we're new creation, he wants to immerse us into Christ. He puts us in Christ, but he wants us immersed in Christ. He wants Christ immersed in us. Until we're changed into his likeness image. That's why I believe it said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father. Immerse them into the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit. And Colossians said, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. So what is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's Jesus. And he wants to immerse us into Christ, and he wants Christ to be immersed into us.
Amen.
That's the growing up process. And notice, how long is this going to go on? It says in verse 39, for the promise, what promise? The gift of Holy Spirit is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I want to tell you, this promise has never been rescinded. The promise of Holy Spirit, the outpouring, be immersed. Don't just be baptized. Somehow we got so used to the word baptized, we've lost the definition, the real meaning of it. It means to be immersed. Just like we come out of the water and they were dripping with the water. He wants us to come out of an encounter with Holy Spirit so it's just oozing out of us. That when we walk like Peter, his shadow healed the sick. He didn't lay hands on anybody. He walked down the street and he was oozing out of. He's so full of the Holy Spirit. It was oozing out of him. He didn't say anything. But he was so full of the Christ within that the Christ within was beginning to manifest, just ooze out of him.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And with many other words, he exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who received his word were immersed or baptized. And that day they were added about 3,000 souls. You talk about harvest. You want to know the example of harvest? There were a lot of people that received Christ, but the baptism of harvest is going to be those that are disciples. That can speak what they're encountering to others. They're encountering Jesus. He's manifesting in them, and now they're given what they got out. It's manifesting through them. I believe that we're in those days right now.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, well, what happened to the baptismal? Well, we stored it, locked it up. But it should be that, you know, daily we got people having an encounter with Jesus. And if daily, it says, 3,000 souls were added. And if you go down in verse 47, it says, they continued praising and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Hallelujah.
Don't you want to get in that place?
Yes.
I mean, that was exciting last week, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, seeing 26 people, man, it caused a fire, and I heard people saying that was the most exciting thing. How would you like to have that all the time?
Yes.
Because the Lord's adding. How's He adding? Because He's manifesting in us and through us. We're being baptized. We're being immersed with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yes.
And that fire, I believe, speaks with a passion. What you encounter, you're going to be passionate
right.
about.
Right.
What you encounter, you're going to tell other people about.
Yes.
And so we need to get the fire of God on the
yes.
inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we get so immersed with it. I mean, you know, I could see those people coming out and not changing their clothes. And just walking out and people saying, what happened to you? I'm telling you, the more I taste, the more I want. Every encounter creates a hunger for more.
Yes.
And that's what He wants to do with us right now. He wants to give you an encounter this morning. He doesn't want you to get stagnant. He doesn't want you just to go from one experience to another. He wants the experiences and encounter in Christ to be the natural norm of life.
Yes.
He doesn't want that to be the abnormal, that we have to wait until Pentecost, or we have to wait for another season, or next Easter, or next Christmas to go and have an encounter. He wants you to have an encounter every day.
Yes.
Baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, so that it starts to ooze out of you, that everywhere you go, people are drawn to you because you had an encounter and they want to know what it is that happened to you. And maybe all you can say is Jesus. God will honor that. But as you grow more, what you encounter, freely you receive, then you freely start to give it away. Amen. It's the norm of life. That's what happened. And look, let's read what happened to them. Verse 42. How's discipleship go? Verse 42, after 3,000, they continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word. Continually devoting yourselves. There's time you need to grow in the word yourself and have encounters. There's times where corporately we engage hearing the word of God and we have an encounter together. But it's the apostles' doctrine, and it's not just the gospels. I believe the apostles' doctrine are the epistles. It tells us how we're to grow in Him, how Christ is in us, and how He's manifesting Himself to us and through us. That's Paul's revelation. In fact, Paul's revelation is so good because in Galatians chapter 1, it says, Paul says, I didn't receive all this from anybody else but by revelation of God. It's a time we're living in a season of revelation.
Yes.
And we sang this song in Galatians chapter 5. I wrote it down just this morning. Galatians 5, 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Listen to this. The experience of salvation, being born again, was to set you free. You need to know what you're set free from. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery.
Come on.
There's no turning back.
That's right.
We're only moving forward.
Yes.
Don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery that He brought you out, that He died for you. Galatians, read Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says this. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You want to know what the curse of the law was? It's Deuteronomy 28. The blessings of God are only 11 verses. The blessings of Abraham. The curses of God go from verse 11 to 50 some. It includes every sickness, every disease. It includes poverty. Everything that the devil comes to kill, destroy, and steal is mentioned in the curses. But Jesus says, I've redeemed you from the curse of the law. And instead, we're new in Christ, and it's the blessings of Abraham are ours. So we have to learn what the blessings of Abraham are, and we have to learn and understand that the curse of the old man that's been buried and crucified, we keep him there.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
But we're putting on the new man,
yes.
The new creation. The blessing of Abraham is ours. Amen. And that's why we're growing in our salvation. We don't know what those blessings of Abraham are. So the word is manifesting. I believe this morning that, you know, and if we were doing probably the way the Bible, we should have had a deliverance service after water baptism last week. We should have. First, the sign that follows them that believe is they cast out devils.
Yep. Come on.
We probably should have, and I thought later, I said, I should have led people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was so excited about what was happening and watching the faces and the encounters that people were having. But the natural should have been, at that time, they come up out of water, get them filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Get them delivered. Get them set free. Amen. So they can start the process of growing into their salvation and relationship with Jesus. It's growing. Desire, long for, as babies, the sincere milk of the word that you might grow in your salvation. Father, I thank you this morning. That, Father, we thank you that we experienced the cross. We saw water baptism of those that were, Father, confessing Jesus as Lord of their life. And we thank you that they had encounters, that they saw the kingdom.
Yes.
And now, Father, we thank you that you want us to enter the kingdom.
Yes.
For you said, truly, truly, you must be born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And as we enter, Father, we must be transformed into your image and your likeness. We put off the old man. We thank you, the curse, Father, the curses of the old man are broken. We've been redeemed from them. And now, Father, our minds are being renewed to who we are in Christ Jesus. And so we begin to put on Christ.
Yes.
You put us in Christ. You put him in us. And now we must put him on. And so, Father, I thank you this morning. Every stronghold.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Every demonic,
yes.
Father, stronghold that's part of the curse.
Yes.
That hinders us from growing.
Yes.
That stunts our growth. I break it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we command every demonic spirit to come out and let God's people go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit's revealing strongholds where you know you're saved. You know that you're born again. But there's just something that's holding you back from surrendering everything. It's kind of like stepping across the line. There's a line drawn in the sand. And you're straddling that line. And Holy Spirit is saying that there's something that's like a tug of war that keeps pulling you back one way, and then there's the Holy Spirit and Jesus is pulling you over to the new life, and it's like you can't seem to get free. In the name of Jesus, every stronghold, every mindset, in the name of Jesus. You're born again, he's given you authority.
Yes.
Says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore you.
Yeah.
You now have the same authority that Jesus has. You've ascended with him. You not only were baptized with him into death, burial, you not only were raised with him, but you ascended with him and now you're seated with him. And he's given you authority to exercise the same authority that Jesus has. That whatever you bind in Jesus' name is already bound.
Yes.
You can cast out devils. You can heal the sick.
Yes.
You can speak in other tongues.
Yes.
It's a new dimension of the realm of the Spirit. It's a spirit man on the inside entering into this new dimension of the new creation. And so we thank you that you've given us the Word. You've given us your spirit.
Yes.
You've given us a body.
Yes.
The Father, after the 3,000, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine.
Yes.
Continued daily in fellowship. That was the exchanging of the Christ within with others. So that's fellowship. They continued daily in breaking bread. And in prayer.
Yeah.
So, Father, we thank you right now. We're living in a time of acceleration,
yes.
Growing pains, great growth, great acceleration.
Amen.
And, Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yes.
I just speak that over, Father. There's several out here that saying that I'm unworthy. No, you're worthy. Your identity is no longer in the old man.
Yes.
Your identity is in the new man.
Yes.
It's in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You've been saved. You've been delivered.
Yes.
And now you're receiving the new life. And that new life is Christ in you. And greater is he that's in you. And I break all those outside influences, all those mindsets that bombard the mind. That try to steal identity in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I thank you right now. Just lift your hands. There's deliverance going on. There's deliverance going on right now. Feel the freedom. The freedom that Jesus paid, the price that he paid with his blood. He's already set you free. Now receive it. Just receive it. There it is. Just receive it. You don't have to do anything. Just receive it. Believe. What must I do to do the works of Jesus? Only believe. We thank you, Father, for the new life. Just put your hands on your stomach area, your chest. Father, I speak new life right now to the innermost being of each person here in the name of Jesus. In encounter right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let's say this together. Say, Father, I thank you I'm born again. And I see the kingdom of God. And now I thank you that you said if I ask, you would fill me. With your Holy Spirit. So I ask you to fill me now. With the same signs and wonders. That they experienced in Acts 2. That they were all filled. That tongues of fire. Rested on each one of them. And they all began. To speak in other tongues. As the Spirit gave utterance. So I thank you as you give me utterance. I open my mouth and I speak out. So just begin to speak right now. Oh, Shandara Roto Rababa Shatara Bashata Brosoto ramba babara tarara. Baranda ra la 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 boronda. Garande de shotter. Let me help you. It's different. You don't think it. It's not words you're thinking. It's something that comes from a different place. Your spirit, Holy Spirit in you. So you feel bubbling up out here, and that's where you give utterance, because you're not speaking to man. So it's not words you understand. It says it's words of heaven, or words that you're speaking to God, or language of angels. And so what you stirred up and you say, can I do that anytime? Yeah, it's your choice. You get a will. You have a will and you choose. And it says in Jude verse 20, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You want to build your faith up. One way of building your faith up is praying in the Holy Spirit. When I pray in the Holy Spirit, man, I get charged. Amen. When I'm facing a situation, I know that I get to choose, because I don't always know how to pray as I ought, as Romans chapter 8 says. But Holy Spirit knows the will of the Father, and He makes intercession for you. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, it's not my head praying to God, it's my spirit praying. And He makes intercession for me according to the perfect will of the Father. So stir up that most holy faith. Let's pray again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just encourage you, when you're in your prayer time, in your closet, you know, when you're not intimidated with those around you, just, you know, just say, okay, here I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Experience it and stir it up. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you'll pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
Boy, that's profound, isn't it? It's like anything else. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you'll pray in the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, in the Spirit, you can go in prayer places that you could never go in the natural. He'll take you to nations. He'll take you into people's situations. He'll show you pictures. You'll have dreams. You'll have visions. You want to enter into dreams and visions, praying for people that you don't have any idea. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Stand with me and let's seal this. Lift your hands one more time. Father, we thank you. Here we are, hands lifted, a sign of surrender. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. And I thank you for immersion of Holy Spirit and fire right now. I pray fire right now upon every individual right now. The fire that you promised. Whoa. Baptizes Jesus again with fire. Immerse us in Holy Spirit and fire in the name of Jesus. Whoa. Whoa. And Father, as you immerse us, we thank you that all the gifts of the Spirit, Father, come with Holy Spirit. And so we start to move in signs and wonders. Thank you for a holy boldness. I thank you, Father, that Paul prayed for boldness. Boldness to speak. So, Father, I pray for a boldness for us to speak. I pray it starts with us being able to speak over ourselves. We can't speak, Father, over others until we can speak boldly the word. Declare healing over us. Speak the word over our bodies. Courage right now. Let a spirit of courage right now fall upon your church. That, Father, when we go into the marketplace, into schools, into, Father, hospitals, that, Father, you give us a bonus. And you said that, Father, you confirm your word. That as we go, you go with us. And you confirm your word. So we speak your word and you confirm it. With signs, wonders, and miracles right now. Just take someone's hand next to you. We've gone through a whole bunch of, we went through communion this morning here. So at communion you received Christ. Then we prayed to receive baptism, and now you're full of the Spirit of God. Now just begin to pray for those next to you right now. Release the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You don't know how to pray. You don't have to ask them. Just ask Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just release the Christ within right now. Release it right now to your fellow believer. Oh, your partner in fellowship. Be healed right now. Be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak fullness, speak life, and life more abundantly. Oh, Shida Bakorada, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, do it now, Lord. Fill them right now, Father, with fresh revelation. Oh, we declare, Father, an open heaven of revelation being poured out right now in the name of Jesus. Speak, Father, life. We command pain go. Pain go and healing come in the name of Jesus right now. Do it, Lord. Manifest, Father. Oh, the fullness of Jesus in your body. In your body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whoa. In the name of Jesus. Just seal it by saying, in Jesus' name. Be done. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. Well, we expect to hear some testimonies. Amen. Amen. I mean, write your share your testimony with someone else, you know, and what God's doing. There's nothing about your testimony that builds you up when you share it with your voice,
amen.
You know.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Father, seal all that you've done right now.
Yes.
And we say more. I say more.
More.
I say more. We keep the switch
yes.
of faith turned on right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, go in the power of his might, strength. Bless someone. Just go and talk to someone. Introduce yourself. You don't know someone. That's a good time to release.